This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Yes, it is that time again of the week. Tech Plus, very big hello to you and welcome. It is our weekly show where we look at all the biggest tech stories and we combine it for you in 60 minutes. And as always, I'm joined by Kane. Kane, how's it going?
Hey, Ian, good to be back. This is a big week of tech. There's lots going on.
There's lots going on, but I must tell you, I didn't see the load shedding coming this week.
No, I was very disappointed to wake up with no power.
Especially that one morning where they didn't warn us beforehand.
Yeah.
A lot of people were, you know, just like showering and stuff.
But you see, that's what happens, because last week we were like, yeah, no, you know, we can talk about load shedding now. It's not going to happen. And here we are. So moral of the story, never talk about load shedding.
Never, ever talk about it. But do you know what happens when it's stage 12 load shedding?
Stage 12?
Yeah, do you know what happens?
I can't, it must be so severe. There's no
this
power.
Is a dad joke. This is a dad joke.
What happens?
They take away your wife. Because you said she's the love, the light in your life.
So they shed that.
Sorry, that's a dad joke. Anyway, so how's your week been? Good?
Good.
Busy? It's a long weekend, thank goodness.
It's a long weekend. It's going to be a good weekend. Easter weekend is always fun. People making announcements and big events during this seasonal period, you know, from a tech point of view, everybody wants to carry into the hype, you know, be part of the hype, have their business at the forefront of the hype. So there's all sorts of things like Easter specials, you know, there's specific marketing that's just for Easter. So you really feel the Easter vibes, you know, when you're moving onto the tech world and going online. But this week, we're taking a look at some very interesting stuff. Number one is Mercedes just prototyped their new EV, which traveled, you won't believe it, 1,000 kilometers on a single charge.
Whoa.
1,000 kilometers.
So you could drive from here to Cape Town and back.
Yeah.
Basically.
In one charge.
Yes, on one charge.
So listen to this. So Mercedes-Benz announced that its electric concept car, the Vision EQXX, successfully completed a long-range test of over 1,000 kilometers on a single battery charge. It was among the longest distances covered by an electric vehicle on a single charge. The trip took place across several European cities, starting in Germany, then on to Switzerland and Italy, and finally to its final destination, the port town of Cassis near Marseille in the south of France. Temperatures ranged from 3 degrees to 18 degrees Celsius, and the vehicle traveled at an average speed of 54 miles per hour. And this is where it starts to get interesting, right? So the distance covered was just over 1,000 kilometers, or about 621 miles, and this was part of their planned route to prototype this vehicle. That is more than twice the typical range that most EVs on the road today can travel. And according to Mercedes, the Vision EQXX's state of charge on arrival was around 15%, leaving the vehicle with a remaining range of about 140 kilometers or 87 miles. So technically, it could have traveled 1,140 kilometers on a single charge. But can you take a guess at the consumption? Because we always talk about how far you can get per liter.
Yeah.
Or how many liters per 100 kilometers.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So the average consumption was a record-breaking low of 8.7 kilowatts per 100 kilometers.
That sounds good.
I mean, just think about your house, you know, putting your units into your house.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
8.7 units get you 100 kilometers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
That's a couple of rands.
Yes.
You know, like, I think it would be like, what, 12, 15 rands?
That's Mercedes, eh?
Yeah.
You can expect it from Mercedes. They're always on top.
In fact, I think brilliant. My Giza uses more than this car.
It does.
I would really
think
it does.
I think a Giza, well, for me to just warm up completely from
like 10 units?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like 10 units.
From start to finish, so it's about 10 units.
The cost of getting your Giza warm, so 2 to 3 people can take a shower, is the same amount of power, or less than that amount of power is required to travel 100 kilometers, which is crazy. What's boiling water going to do in terms of help you travel? But this can take you 100 kilometers. That's far.
Yeah.
That's very far for 8.7 kilowatts.
Jeez, I want one of these EVs now.
I can't wait. So yeah, that's Mercedes's challenge now into, you know, its pilot vehicle. And it's clear to me, you know, they said, let's not make an electric vehicle that is the fastest. Let's not make an electric vehicle that is maybe the aesthetically best. I think those are all things they would want to hit. But ultimately, they said, let's make a vehicle which can travel the furthest on a single charge. Because that's ultimately what my deciding factor was when I was looking at some electric vehicles. My core decision was, well, how far can I get and how practical is that distance?
Yeah, because we also worry that you're running out of juice, so to speak.
And the more budget,
while you're still on the road and there's no charging station.
Exactly, and the more budget cars take even longer to charge. So
yeah, exactly.
It's charging time and charge travel distance.
Well done, Mercedes. That's fantastic, eh?
That's flippin' cool, right?
Very, very cool.
Next up, we're taking a look at Elon Musk, who's now being sued by a Twitter shareholder for violating his share regulatory deadline.
Yes, I saw that he was in the news this week, and you know, once again, one of his, you know, he likes to create a stir. He said he wants to turn Twitter's headquarters into a homeless shelter. That's only an Elon idea. And then I can't believe it, but a couple of days ago, he rejected an offer to be on the Twitter board.
He accepted it, and then next day declined it.
Why?
I don't.
He's interesting to watch.
He's all over the
place.
Eh? Midlife crisis of a billionaire.
To be very honest, I think there is a bit of a midlife crisis. Yeah.
So Elon Musk is being sued by a Twitter shareholder for allegedly delaying disclosing his stake in the app in a bid to buy more for less. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO was recently revealed to have a 9.2% share in Twitter, worth $2.6 billion at the time of the purchase. According to filings, Musk purchased around 620,000 shares at $36 a pop on the 31st of January and continued to buy them up until 1st of April. Now a complaint has been filed in the New York federal court by his fellow shareholder Mark Bain, who has accused the multi-billionaire of violating a regulatory deadline. It adds how Musk gave materially false and misleading statements and omissions by not making his investment public knowledge by March 24th. So, the 50-year-old businessman magnate didn't disclose his share until the 4th of April, when the stock grew around 27%. And Rosella, therefore, feels that other investors missed out on the opportunity to buy cheaper shares by letting Musk continue to purchase them. The lawsuit read, by failing to disclose his ownership stake, Musk was able to acquire shares of Twitter less expensively during the class period. Rosella is seeking unspecified compensatory and punitive damages. The legal case comes after Twitter announced Musk had decided not to join its board of directors after it was announced that he would take on the role on Tuesday, April 12th. This guy's all over the place. But yeah, there we are. So, you know, even when you go and buy stock, if you don't disclose and you don't act, you know, fairly for the rest of your shareholders and just the general competition, I mean, think about it. He did make a fair point. Because Musk only made the announcement of his purchase into Twitter, or made the public statement that he is making this investment into Twitter, or it has been done, had increased the price of the shares by 27%, meaning every other investor that maybe wanted to compete with Musk's larger shareholding and buy more would have had to buy that stock at a greater price and cost them more to acquire the same amount as Elon. And they're saying that is a competitive disadvantage that was brought on by Musk's actions. Strange. Just let him invest what he wants to invest in. Stop fighting him.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how his mind works, eh? It's the mind of a genius.
It is.
And a bit of a, like you said, there's definitely a bit of a midlife crisis.
It's like the mind of a genius and also the mind of a scatterball, you know.
Yeah.
It's like all over the place.
Yeah. Listen, did you see how hectic was the flooding in Durban this week? Houses washing away.
Man.
Hundreds of people dying.
Do you think it's global climate?
I don't know. Yeah. I spoke to our weather hooligan and he says it's got to do with a cyclone or something. Came in from the ocean to Durban. but the SA Weather Service didn't pick it up and warn the people in advance. Jeepers. I don't know if it's because their equipment's not working properly or Jeepers. Whatever. So they didn't warn the people in advance to go to higher ground. And over 200, I think almost 300 people, it's just climbing now as they recover the people, lost their lives.
My word.
But anyway, what also was lost in the floods is 400 Vodacom towers were knocked offline by the floods. And then even worse for MTN, they lost 500 towers.
So 900 towers lost in a single flood event.
Yes, I would imagine that they weren't together, these towers.
No, scattered around probably.
Yes, but I mean, if you look at the destruction, there's a video of our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, flying in a helicopter over the disaster area. If you look at how wide it is, you can probably understand why 900 towers didn't make it.
That's such a shame.
So I think getting cell phone reception in Durban right now is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, and I mean, our condolences to everyone affected by the floods.
It's been absolutely
devastating.
Hectic. Devastating, devastating.
And completely, it was not like there was warnings, like potential flood warnings that were circulating on social media. Just kind of,
Imagining 400 millimeters of rain just dumping in a couple of hours.
No,
even more than 400 millimeters. I mean,
that's literally to your ankle almost.
Yeah,
higher than that, it's up your calf with the water.
And then you know, there's landslides and all that kind of stuff that you can't control.
So
a lot of people, you know, and then the next thing you know, your house is washing away because the whole foundation is gone.
Well, I think the scariest thing for me would that be that happening, you know, your house starts washing away. But even more than that, just trying to drive from A to B and your car is getting swept off of the road.
And all of a sudden there's a stream taking you.
A scary place
that
to be.
That must be hectic. What have you got for us when we come back, eh?
When we come back from the break, we're taking a look at Sony and Lego, who put a $2 billion investment into Epic Games' metaverse effort. And we're going to also take a look at Samsung, who wants to make Galaxy smartphone repairs cheaper, and how they're actually going about doing that.
Oh, that's nice to know as a Samsung user.
Yes, and they also incorporate some recycled materials in their phones, which we'll also talk about.
Ooh, oh, no. Well, it's Tech Plus. If you just joined us, a big hello to you and welcome. We're having so much fun discussing this week's biggest and most exciting tech developments, not only in South Africa, but all over the world. It's Ion with you, and then also joined by Kane, as always. Kane, what have you got for us next?
So we're taking a look at Sony and Lego, who made an investment into Epic Games' metaverse effort. A $2 billion investment. And we see this happening a lot now, these investments into the metaverse and things like that. People are really scurrying tooth and nail to get in on this opportunity. So Japanese giant Sony and Lego's Danish parent firm announced Monday a $2 billion investment in the US gaming powerhouse Epic Games for its work towards joining the metaverse vision for the internet's future. Scores of tech firms have been rushing to invest in building the metaverse, and a loose term covering the growing ecosystem of interactive online worlds, games, and 3D meeting places that are already attracting millions of users in the form of video games, like Epic's hit Fortnite. The precursors of a metaverse already exist in a minimalist way, with people coming together to not only play but also interact and participate in virtual reality events. The $2 billion investment is aimed at advancing Epic's vision to build the metaverse and support its continued growth, the three firms sent in a joint venture. Sony, already a shareholder in Epic Games, and Kirby, Lego's parent firm, are each investing $1 billion. All three companies highly value both creators and players and aim to create a new social entertainment exploring the connection between the digital and physical worlds. That's what they had to say. And the investment brings Epic Games' valuation to $31.5 billion, the US studio said. Imagine having a game firm worth $35 billion.
I wouldn't mind,
you know? Jeez.
Yeah, Jill.
So with 350 million users worldwide, its Fortnite game is free to download but generates billions in revenue with the purchases by players of additional items for the characters, including clothing. The game has quickly become a global phenomenon to the point that some games are now followed live by millions of users. So we're seeing more investments into the metaverse. metaverse. The metaverse is actually quite sophisticated already, with almost 10,000 worlds within the metaverse.
Yo.
I mean, that exists already. People playing it already, playing games on it already.
Oh, wow.
And that's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
The speed by which we are propelling into the future is uncomparable to what it was 10 years ago. And then next we're taking a look at Samsung, that wants to make Galaxy smartphones repairing cheaper. And we can agree that that's a big problem. I mean, why do we buy phone cases? Why do we buy screen protectors?
Yeah.
Because the cost of replacing a screen will destroy your wallet tenfold. You know,
yeah.
I think I got quoted once on my Samsung S21, 5,500 rand to replace the screen.
Oof.
5,000 rand.
Just buy a new phone.
You know what I mean? You can literally take a contract and fund it for 10 months on 5,000 rand. You know, then you got 1 year left and your phone's paid off.
Yeah.
So Samsung is looking to introduce a certified recycled parts program for Galaxy smartphone repairs, and it wants to do so in the first half of 2022. According to a Business Korea report, the Czech giant wants to leverage recycled parts to reduce the cost of repairs and make its operations more eco-friendly. The parts are made of recycled plastics, metals, and other materials, and Samsung will ensure that the quality and performance of such components can match that of its new products. Business Korea explained that if the program were to be implemented, the cost to repair a damaged screen would halve from 2,360 rand on most devices to 1,180 rand on most devices. I would take that.
Yep.
That is affordable.
Much better.
You know, 1,200 rand, you got a new phone screen on your phone, it looks great, it's back to its working condition.
Yeah.
And if you've ever tried to use a phone with a damaged screen,
oof,
it is constant hassle.
Oof.
And glass cuts. And
it's, oh my word, glass cuts. I've never had that. But, I mean, it's a touch screen. You have to be able to swipe on it.
Exactly.
And now you've got all these cuts and stuff.
A friend of mine's phone was like really cracked. And sometimes it would just have like a little epileptic fit where it would... like you would without touching it just goes in and out of apps and starts typing messages,
it feels,
and sending them and flying around the whole phone.
Yo, that's a bit dangerous.
It's scary.
It's risky.
You know?
What if it somehow sends something?
It does. Sometimes it's got random messages from it, like QZWZZZXI.
Or what if it goes to your gallery and there's a photo that somebody shouldn't see and someone sends it to your family or something?
Exactly. You can't roll around with the broken screen. There's too much risk involved.
It's very risky.
It is. So, Samsung has been promoting its sustainable manufacturing efforts for some time now, so this isn't something new. Emphasizing the use of new material made from discarded fishing nets during its Galaxy S22 series launch. So discarded fishing nets are recycled and used within Samsung phones.
Wow.
Thank you. I mean, fishing nets in the ocean is a big problem. Seriously.
Yeah, wow. I like that.
You know?
Samsung's going a bit green there.
Yeah, no, and it's good to see. We need this.
Yeah.
We need this kind of thought processing.
Absolutely.
How do we utilize irrelevant materials and make them relevant?
Yes.
You know? It's not the only smartphone manufacturer to promote such efforts, though. Apple's iPhone 13 range uses recycled materials such as aluminium and tungsten in its design and hardware. So one of the notable moves of predominant smartphone manufacturers was removing charging bricks from device packaging, which I hate. I don't sell me on sustainability because you didn't include a charging brick with my phone. Now I must charge my phone out of my router's USB plug. You know, like, what?
do you call that a charging brick?
Yeah, that heavy... weighted part that goes into the power.
Okay.
That is the brick.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And they touting that, by not including the brick, we're being more sustainable. I mean, I'm going to go buy a brick anyway. Or am I going to use an old brick? Like,
old brick.
I don't understand the logic behind that statement. And I feel like that's just a bit of, it saves us money, but we can make it a positive, we can try to sell it positively.
Yeah.
You know? So, some good and some bad, but ultimately, Samsung Galaxy phone screens and general repairs will come down in price if they launch this recycled materials initiative.
Fantastic. Kane, did you know Twitter is experimenting with a new feature?
What's that feature?
They announced that they're experimenting with an unmentioning feature. So, this will allow users to remove themselves from a discussion thread should they no longer wish to receive notifications from it. Currently only available to a few users on the web version of Twitter, the feature allows users to click click a leave this conversation button to remove themselves from a tweet's mentions. When clicked, your username will get untagged and you can no longer be mentioned, and it will also stop notifications from the thread. You can already do that on Facebook. I thought you can do that on Twitter already,
yeah,
but apparently not.
But you know what? That's not targeted at us. That's targeted at celebrities and high-followed people. Because about the hassle for you. Like, you're constantly... People are just talking about you and tag... have 99% of your notifications are flipping tagging you.
You know?
And how do you... What sort of discretion do you use to denote what's valuable, what's not valuable? And at the end of the day, I think people don't want to just constantly get bombed with flipping notifications. And that would be the case for someone like with over 2 million followers, you know?
Yeah.
Or 20 million followers.
No, that must be a nightmare.
Or like Will Smith. Imagine Will Smith's notification feed. You know?
Yeah, and his inbox.
I'm sure there's not a minute that goes by that someone doesn't send him a message or tag him.
Yeah, hate mail and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, with after the slap of the century.
Yeah. But listen, you have, assuming you have the latest WhatsApp version installed on your phone, sure you do. Did you notice anything different this past week?
Yes, calls.
What happened?
The way that you have group calls has changed completely.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know because I don't do
like
group
completely
calls,
revamped.
Okay, that's good. Is it better?
Yeah, it has voice waveforms, like audio waveforms, so you can see who's talking and their voice.
Oh my word! Really? Okay.
No, it looks really like top notch.
Wow! I obviously don't know because I don't really do group calls. So I don't. Think
you wouldn't
I've
notice
ever done
on a one-to-one call, but on a group call, everybody has like a little square on the screen.
Okay.
And there's a little audio waveform shows when they're speaking or if they're muted.
Did you notice
quite a nice UI
on the UI? Yeah. Did you notice on the voice notes as well? The little waveform looks a bit different as well.
That I didn't notice.
Yeah, and then also if you minimize WhatsApp while a voice note is playing, it continues playing, and then at the top of the screen there's a little pop up now with that voice note.
Oh, where you can go out the chat.
Yes,
and you can read other people's messages.
Yes, and
but the voice note continues playing,
but then now there's a little
player
at the top. I didn't have that until this week. How long have you had it?
Well, I saw it, and it's been on a few other versions, like here and there, where occasionally I could listen to a voice note and actually exit.
Yeah,
but
then
it never
sometimes
stuck.
It stops. Yeah,
no, it didn't.
Now there's a little player that stays at the top of your screen while you are navigating.
That's
elsewhere.
Really useful because it's such a hassle to push play and sit
going
on
back
someone's
in again,
chat.
Oh, where was I? Now you have to go and search for it, and then. That's
and one nice. Feature that I also read about them adding is the ability to speed up a voice note, but where you wouldn't have been able to speed up a voice note before, like 1.5x or 2x, is if you send me a voice note, I forward it to someone, they couldn't play it back at 2x speed. But now when you forward a voice note, and the receiver of that forwarded voice note can actually speed up that voice note as well.
Oh, nice.
Which is quite nice because that was always my stumbling block. All voice notes I listen to are sped up.
Yeah.
And then
don't
you get the forwarded voice notes and it's like dragging on. You can hear the guy taking breaths, you know.
Jeez, yeah. But they're also working on an estimated time of arrival feature now that will tell users when a file will finish uploading or downloading.
That's very useful.
Yeah, it's like that estimated download thing that you get on your computer. You know, it gives you a kind of an estimate, like at the bottom of Google
very
Chrome,
useful.
For example. Kind
very
of gives
useful.
You that estimated time. That's for when people send big files on WhatsApp. I don't send big files on WhatsApp, do you?
Well, they have limits. Like, a video can only be like 32 megs or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So why? Okay, well, that's interesting, eh? It's interesting.
So there's also some other ones. So there's the out-of-chat playback, the pause or resume recording. So when you're recording a voice note, you can actually pause that recording and carry on recording it.
Oh, I don't have that one.
No, it will come.
Oh, is it still coming?
These are better.
I was going to say now, damn. I'm left behind. Yeah.
So there's that one. Then there's that waveform visualization you mentioned. Draft previews. Users can listen back to their voice messages before hitting send. That's quite useful.
Very.
Remember playback. Users can resume voice note playback if they pause the message the next time they open the chat. So if you were listening to a voice note, pause it, left the chat, come back to the chat, you can resume from where you last left off.
Yeah, because usually you would have to go through it again and look for where you left off.
Yeah, so
takes
I mean,
a lot of time.
That's cool little features. I must say, that does get me excited.
Notice anything different on Netflix?
No, I haven't watched Netflix in a while.
Oh, really?
What happened?
There's a new double thumbs up button. It's a new way for viewers to curate the movies and series the streaming service should recommend. Remember, whenever you vote up or down on a series, it records it and it keeps that in mind for your future suggestions. So that's how Netflix gets to know what you like and what you don't like. So it's very important that you do that accurately on your account. But anyway, the streaming...
Just go mess with someone and thumbs down all their recently watched shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to affect things for you. Because that's why you always see that 99% match or whatever. That's how it knows. And it's quite accurate, I must say. The button will appear to the right of the current thumbs down and thumbs up buttons on Netflix on the web and its TV, Android and iOS apps. Streaming service said that although the existing buttons were a good way to gauge viewer sentiment about content, it acknowledged limitations with this simple binary approach. Netflix said introducing an additional button for content that users really enjoy will help it offer better recommendations. So normal thumbs up is okay, it was all right. The new double thumbs up, I really like it.
Distinguishing value for Netflix to understand what's extremely enjoyed and what's just generally accepted.
Makes sense. I haven't seen the new button yet, so
I haven't, but I will be using it. Yeah. I'll go to all my favorite shows now because I'm running dry on Netflix at the moment. Like, really, like, I can't find anything to watch on there.
Really?
Ah, yeah, no.
Is that one of those moments for you again?
Yeah.
I'm waiting till end April because then Grace and Frankie's last season drops, the final episodes. And come on, you know, Ozark.
The
final seven episodes. It's all going down. It's going to be hectic.
I saw a lot of news and stuff from Netflix specifically running PR campaigns and stuff talking about how the pandemic and people sharing passwords and things like that affected their revenue, which affected the shows that they were producing, which is affecting me right now when I'm looking for something to watch.
Yes,
but they were talking about this a month or so ago. So I feel like they knew that this moment was coming, this dry spell was coming.
Yeah, where everything's just going to dry up. Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't have like a set high volume, high release schedule.
Like, I wonder if they plan it like across. They must certainly, plan it across the calendar and spread it out so that there's no downtime, so to speak.
And I think when you're doing that process and you start realizing you don't actually have enough content, then you start running PR campaigns and stuff to protect yourself. So when people see the dry spell, they're like, oh yeah, the people Netflix blamed for this dry spell are to blame here. You know, not Netflix. Let me wait. Or, you know, it's a marketing stint. But it's disappointing to know that you got millions, like 215 million people who pay you every single month, and you start running dry on content.
That shouldn't happen.
It's like you're going to watch a Spider-Man movie or a movie at the cinema every single month. You know, like, and every single person, 215 million of them of doing it, I mean, there's surely revenue.
Yeah.
You know, these are what funded blockbusters. This is what funded when movies were first being developed a couple of years ago and released, where they made their money was the cinema and the DVD releases. So if you've got 215 people paying the same amount they would have paid to a cinema every month, and you have more people paying you for your for your service than they do people going to the cinema, why are you running out of money? You know, you got a new movie releasing every week that people are paying to basically watch. I mean, every month, you know, you basically every month someone's going to the cinema and paying 150 rand. And that's your subscription across 215 million people. It's very hard to believe that you don't have money to produce content. I'm a bit lost.
No, I totally understand. What have you got first when we come back?
When we come back from the break, we're taking a look in terms of thumbs up, thumbs down features. TikTok is testing a dislike button in their comments.
Oh.
And Ukraine says it stopped a Russian cyber attack on its power grid yesterday.
Ooh, wow, that's a big one.
And Pokemon Go developer Niantic has made a new AR game called Peridot.
Ooh, are we going to see people wandering around again in the night looking for things?
I'm going to tell you what I like and what I don't like.
Okay, to round up this week's biggest tech stories. And we spoke about load shedding earlier. I see Andre de Reiter was speaking to the media again, Kane, this morning.
Oh, no.
And he says we could expect some more load shedding next week as well and deep into the winter. it's not looking very good right now. No. So get your power banks, generators, and your candles.
I mean, it's the biggest joke of the year.
Yeah, it's every year before we go into winter, there's all these warnings. And then sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
It's such a joke.
But this Durban thing, you can imagine how much strain it added. And the bad weather up there, up north, in Joburg, how it affected the grid as well, you know.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate, but we need to stop relying on Eskom and move on if it's an independent grid.
It is.
You know, independent power generation. Whether I'm paying Eskom when I buy my units or if I'm paying, you know, some other bro out of somewhere else, you know, who has a solar farm, doesn't matter to me. But there should be Eskom should lose money during load shedding. Because you're paying someone else to provide you with the electricity they can't maintain. That's competition. That's what it needs to be.
But I like seeing all these little pop-ups now of renewable energy. Just today, there was also a story of a new... Look, it's not a lot, but it helps. 100-megawatt renewable energy project that's going to bring job opportunities.
Okay.
And a push of energy resilience in the Western Cape. Looks like that's going to be around the Strathspey area. But that's at least going to add another 100 megawatts. Oh, no, I'm lying. It's Saldanha Bay. That's where it's going to be. So it's nice. It's just, you know, it creates jobs and slowly but surely we're getting independent power producers, IPPs.
100 megawatt by 100 megawatt by 100 megawatt, we'll make our way to our 31,000 megawatts.
Yeah, I hope there's enough space for all the renewable. But yeah, it's nice to see them popping up. At least there's an attempt, you know.
Yeah,
at least they're trying.
If there's 10 more people like that person who made the 100 megawatt, there's 1,000 megawatts. That's 1/32nd of our total generation. That's
but I don't know how much it costs or how many megawatts would one household be. Like your average household, I wonder how much that would be per day or per hour.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I'm using probably about 500 to a... I'm probably using 1 megawatt a month.
Mm.
Or no. Yeah, because I use about... I think I probably use about 500 kilowatts a month.
Wow.
On average.
Okay.
Which isn't much, actually.
Per month? No, that's...
500 to 700 a month.
That's an energy saver there,
yeah,
I think.
So the 1,000 would be 1 megawatt.
Yeah.
So, I think you would average about 1 megawatt. I don't know, actually.
But that's
I think that's very high consumption.
Brain's not working here now.
No. Brain go brr. So, TikTok is testing a feature that allows users to dislike individual comments on videos. The company confirmed today in a blog post on safety and community guidelines enforcement, TikTok says individuals can flag comments they find irrelevant or inappropriate without... the dislike being visible to others. Some users spotted different version of the options earlier this year. The community feedback will add the range of factors we already use to keep the comment section consistently relevant and a place for genuine engagement. TikTok users already can dislike videos to signal to the app that they aren't interested in the content. The comment dislike button appears to be available in addition to the option to report a comment for community guideline violations. The company also says it's experimenting with sending reminders about features like comment filtering and bulk block and delete to creators who receive a high volume of negative comments. Decisions about whether to roll out the feature in full will be made in the coming weeks, according to TikTok. We do need a comment dislike button, and it's not to just express our dislike in something, but creators can get bombarded with negativity.
Yeah, that's
especially
a problem.
Like, think about the worst case scenario, someone with a disability doing a TikTok video.
Oh, shame.
Can you imagine the worst of the worst people who come onto that video and just destroy the comment section?
And people are so freaking rude online.
So rude and ruthless. So, like, anonymously behind their little desk, you know, where they can't be seen.
Cowards.
And just go shout at a person.
Bloody cowards, yes.
So for that reason, I think it's a very valuable thing. You need to protect the mentality of your creators. And negative comments and harsh comments and derogatory comments and racist comments and all these sort of things all affect the mentality of the creator, the motivation of that creator, how invested he is.
It can make him or her stop making videos. Completely.
I would as well.
I don't want to expose myself like that.
No.
You know?
No, and it's a big problem.
I think I'm too vulnerable. Maybe I care too much about what people think of me, but my skin is not that thick that I can read those comments and just carry on making
Well, I think
videos.
Most people can receive 100,000 compliments, but that one negatory comment can really sit unpleasantly.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it plays on your insecurities as well. It's also about how you feel about yourself and how you accept yourself, you know.
Exactly. So it's good to see that feature being rolled out, and ultimately we'll just remove some of that negativity out of the comment section, keep it more genuine engagement, yeah. Conversational.
I mean, looking at YouTube, for example, how they, the dislike button, what they did with the dislike button. You know?
That I'm proud of. I mean, some people have really hated it, like Linus Tech Tip said he didn't really like that they added that feature because the importance of being able to dislike something is still valid, you know. But I don't agree with that because in some cases you can get really hurt, not just emotionally, but from an intrinsic value point of view, because people can dislike barrage you.
Yeah.
So they get a bot army to just destroy all your videos with hundreds of thousands of dislikes. And what do you do as a creator? You can't do anything against that.
Yeah, and then you get people who are so clever, they say, use my comment as the dislike button.
And then, sure.
And then that shoots up way to the top. Which is, actually, I must say, quite clever, actually.
No, it is.
That is a nice hack there.
People are so smart. Like, can you just imagine being YouTube and you, like, implement this feature, and then you have people like that, and you're so smart.
It's so amusing.
So, Ukraine says it stopped a Russian cyber attack on its power grid. I mean, it's been so quiet in Ukraine, I thought the war was coming to a slowdown, but no.
No, it's not,
So an attack on Ukraine's power grid was foiled by cybersecurity analysts and officials, as reported by Reuters. After investigating the methods and software used by the attackers, cybersecurity firm ESET, or ESET, says it was likely carried out by a hacking group called Sandworm, which the Record reports allegedly has ties to the Russian government. The group planned to shut down computers that controlled substations and infrastructure belonging to a particular power company, according to the Computer Emergency Response Team of Ukraine, or CERT-UA. The hackers meant to cut off power on April 8th while also wiping the computers that would be used to try and get back online. I mean, that's quite a malicious attack. Destroy the computers that keep the grid stable and then wipe the computers so that no one can get the grid stable again. Very malicious attack. And we're talking about nuclear power stations.
Oof.
This attempted attack involved a wide variety of malware, according to ESET, including recently discovered Caddy Wiper. ESET also found a new piece of malware, which it calls Indestroyer 2. The original Indestroyer was used in a successful 2016 cyber attack that cut off powers in parts of Kiev, according to the security firm, probably by the same group behind this month's foiled attack. Indestroyer isn't widely used by hackers. ESET notes that it's only seen it used twice, which implies that it's written for a very specific use. CERT-UA says the hackers were bidding their time, initially breaching the company's systems before March, and ESET's analysis shows that one of the main pieces of malware was compiled over 2 weeks before the attack was supposed to take place. It's unclear how the hackers initially got into the company's network or how they gained access to the network that controls industrial equipment like the targeted substations. The analysis does show, however, that the hackers were planning on covering their tracks after the attack. This is crazy. I mean, digital warfare at its finest happening right now in front of our eyes. Russia trying to, you know, cripple Ukraine on a power generation
level. Not just
level.
A physical war, it's a digital war as well. Can you hack our power grid here in South Africa? That is my question. They're doing it themselves, or what?
Oh, no. Can we hack our power grid? I mean,
there must be an online component, you know?
Yeah, someone must be able to turn things on or off from home. If they can, then we can.
And I'm telling you, the password is not that great.
Password 123, or not my password is the password.
Or what if the password is load shedding?
I had a joke. I don't know if it was a friend of mine or myself, but I changed the password on my router to "you will never get it" with no spaces. So when people ask me for my password, I'd be like, "you would never get it."
Oh, brilliant.
No spaces, and they didn't click. You know?
Brilliant.
They're like, "no, what's your
That's
password?
The actual
like,
password.
You'll never get it."
Did you see how creative some people get with their Wi-Fi names?
No.
Just pick up the hotspots.
No, like FBI guy.
Yeah, that's one you can use. Or you know, like Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi.
Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi.
That's one of the good ones that I've seen. And then, yeah, you get funny ones. They say free porn and all that kind of
you
stuff.
You could be like SARS headquarters. No one's going to connect to your Wi-Fi.
Or somebody said you can, like FBI surveillance or something. Oh, my gosh. Stay away.
Wi-Fi network monitoring department or something.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go developer Niantic. Did you play Pokemon Go?
No,
but I... try it?
No, but I had a friend. She tried to convince me, but I didn't have time. But I watched her play it, and then she would just go and park her car in the middle of nowhere and just sit there and play Pokemon Go. And then I was also at the V&A waterfront once in Cape Town, and I saw all these teens with their phones, like, what the hell's happening? Is there a celebrity? And they were all chasing Pokemon.
Or playing Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That game became... That was actually a very, like... snowball, very very popular, disappear,
and then it just disappeared. You know?
Like it lost its edge very quickly.
Yeah,
so Niantic, the developer behind this Pokemon Go, has announced its next augmented reality game, and once again it's full of adorable creatures called Peridot. The game is all about caring for and breeding magical critters. Think about it like Pokemon Go crossed with the Tamagotchi. And that's what we were talking about last week. Yeah. So it's Pokemon Go meets a Tamagotchi with some real world and AR elements. So people who don't know what a Tamagotchi is, it's basically that little device that you had as a child, that little toy that you had to feed, and it like made noise, and you know, and if you didn't feed it, it died.
And then you have to raise it again because it grows, and then you have to start all over again.
Yeah, it was a massive like.
But you know, kids were actually swapping out Tamagotchis at school. Hey,
I really liked that.
They were always like, hey, let's get the Tamagotchi and. Can you look after my Tamagotchi this week, and then I'll give it to you next week? Kind of, you know, taught them some responsibility for those who didn't have pets.
It's a great interlude before getting a pet.
Yeah, it is.
You might have your disagreements, but it teaches you the logic that it needs to be fed.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely teaches you responsibility. I think that's a nice aspect. Do you still get Tamagotchis? That's the big question.
I would love to get a few and give them away on the show, hey? That would
be pretty
cool.
Yeah, because it's now a vintage thing.
Yeah. It's like you're an OG guy. It's not about having a Tamagotchi. It's like, if I saw someone with it, I'd be like, please, can I play it for 5 minutes and just see how it is and reminisce?
But some people just threw those Tamagotchis away.
No.
Yeah, they're just like...
monsters.
Because sometimes they would wake you in the middle of the night, eh? Like a baby. And then like out the window it goes. And then the dog runs off with it.
So... one of the defining aspects of Peridot is that every creature is unique. They all look different through a combination of handcrafted assets and procedural generation, and have distinct personality traits. Niantic says they also have their own DNA. This ties into the breeding aspect, which the developer says is patterned after the way DNA works in real life. There are different creature archetypes, like unicorn or cheetah, and these can be blended during breeding to create all new adorable critters. I almost lost my mind when I read this, because as I'm reading it, an idea is spawning in my head, NFTs. I'm like, where's that NFT word coming from? You're talking about creatures that you control, that have specific attributes, that you have to... keep alive, that you can breed and create new creatures. This is sounding NFT heaven.
It is,
No, they're not building it with digital. Although it is a unique digital asset, the Peridots are not NFTs. Zane Fogel said, it's a really interesting idea, and it's something that we're obviously looking at. Zane is, or Zaya is the lead developer for the game. But he says, no, they're not really working with NFTs at the moment.
Oh.
But right now, we're focused on testing and refining the core gameplay experience to ensure it's fun and accessible. If they went NFTs, I'm telling you, that would have been another million to multi-million dollar NFT collection. Such a pity. Such a lost opportunity. Living in the past, they've probably been developing the game for the last few years. They don't see the value in bringing in NFTs, and I'm just disappointed, because there is, you have one of the best
most primed opportunities that you have curated for yourself through Pokemon Go. If Pokemon Go had NFTs, do you understand that Pokemon Go cards, Pokemon cards are worth money?
Yeah.
Now you had Pokemon Go creatures that are NFTs. They didn't do that. Now they had an opportunity to do it with Peridots, and they didn't do it either. I'm like, what? It's the difference between having a million people playing your game that might spend a bit of money in the game and having 20 million people play your game where there's people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in the game. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like one player. One player. It's so disappointing
it
when
is.
I heard that.
It
so
is.
Like living in the past.
I hope
before that game comes out that they that they implement some sort of NFT aspect.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're missing out. It's such a lost opportunity.
Yeah.
So sad.
You're right. It's almost time to wrap it up, eh? Can you believe it? And then into the long weekend we go. Are you actually having a long weekend?
I am. This time.
Okay, so you're
taking
off, thank goodness.
Absolutely.
Please, I was actually going to force you to take off. Because this guy's like the Energizer bunny. It never stops working. When last did you use an Uber?
The other day.
Okay, and how long did it... Was it just the short distance?
It arrived pretty quick, got there. Yeah, just an Uber.
How long
Uber
did it take?
To arrive?
Yeah, since you summoned it.
Like
sounds like you're calling up spirits here. Since you pushed the button.
It probably summoned like 5 minutes after.
Whoa.
10 minutes.
So it was quite, because you can see how close it is.
Yeah, you can see how far away it is.
But have you used Bolt before?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the difference? Are they both pretty much
Bolt
the same?
I've never used Bolt. Actually, I remember when Bolt first came to Nisner. I used it once or twice, but I took a Bolt... in PE once.
Yeah, okay.
And that was the last Bolt I have taken and I will ever take.
What happened?
Well, nothing bad happened, except I was going from A to B and the guy tells me, he's like, you know, I'm like, why are you on Bolt and not Uber? He's like, you know, I applied for Uber, but I got rejected because of my criminal record. And I was like, oh, okay, just driving with the criminal.
You were rolling did he drive through the hood?
through the 28th, I don't know. Yeah.
Yes, but you know, the problem is, why? I want to ask you that question now. I hope you've got the answer for me. Why do we only have two or three Ubers operating here, and then also two or three Bolts operating in the area? Why is there
There's only one Uber.
Hey?
There's only one Uber.
No.
There's no Bolt. Bolt doesn't exist here in Eisner.
No, I picked up Bolt, eh?
What?
Yes. Two or three of them going. And then Uber also. And some of them, like one of them each reserved just for women.
Oh,
Bolt
fantastic.
Woman or was it Uber woman? I don't know.
I hope it's Uber woman.
Yeah, but why is there only two or three of both companies operating here?
Because the drivers aren't sent down by Uber or Bolt. You can become a driver. You yourself
so,
can be a driver.
Well, somebody should be... We need
People
more drivers.
Should be stepping up being drivers.
Yeah, can't you make good money there?
There is good money there.
It's good employment
it's
opportunities
like,
right there, you know?
It's $2.40 to plet
okay.
by Uber.
Yes.
So, I mean, just... You know, do the math as a driver, and you'll
yeah. Because but these cars are always busy.
Yeah.
When I go on, it's always busy.
Always.
Then you can't do anything.
Nothing.
So where do you find the gap to actually engage one of the drivers and say, "Come pick me up"? Do you just keep refreshing? You keep going in, or what?
Yeah. Well, you can book. You can keep requesting until you get a booking, or next time you go on an Uber, get the driver's number.
Oh, are you allowed to do that?
Allowed to.
I was wondering if you're allowed to contact them directly. Yeah.
Your goal is to get a lift.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do whatever you want. The driver might not be allowed to sell you Uber services outside of Uber because they can change the pricing.
Yeah.
You know, and Uber
probably
takes a commission as well. They could change that. So, yeah, I think the damage would be to the driver, not to you.
Yeah.
So you
just want to get somewhere.
You just want to get directly in contact with that guy and get to where you want to go.
But I mean, I see that lastly now, Uber has announced the launch of Uber Reserve and Uber Hourly in South Africa. That's two new dedicated driver reservation features. So now you can actually log in into the app and reserve a driver for a certain time.
Excellent.
But have you tried that before, reserving them? So, like, tomorrow, please be here at 11 o'clock.
But it's very important to do that.
Yeah, but have you tried that before?
No, I haven't. But
so, you only do it when you need him, like, right now?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But so I wonder it is a very good way. I mean, you spoke about it. How do you keep refreshing? No, book a pre... Like, book yesterday for today.
Yeah, why is there no scheduling system?
Schedule it.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, or go with an Uber, get the contact number, and then schedule a lift with them.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a very early, it's just recently come to Knysna in this Garden Route area.
It's still new.
If you have a dream of making some more money, you can become an Uber. It's a good revenue stream. You will have to go through a lengthy application process with Uber.
Check your criminal record.
There's no lengthy investigation process. You just go straight onto Bolt.
You can actually, when you come out of jail, you can sign up immediately.
They give you a Bolt coupon. As you come out, they're like, yeah, you want to be a driver for Bolt? Uber won't take his one shot money. No, but all jokes aside, that's what he said to me at PN. When I heard that, I was like, well, you know, at least I know, especially for women, let's be real.
No, that's a problem.
You know that you can trust your ride on Uber. They've gone through a criminal investigation process. But then again, if your driver looks dodgy, anything looks out of whack, don't do it.
But Kane, know what is my worst nightmare? Especially, but now for a lady, I can imagine must be even worse. Imagine getting into a car. So you're waiting for your Uber. It looks like it's arriving, and then okay, here's a car now. That must be my Uber, right? You get into the back seat, it drives off with you, and later on you get a message from your Uber driver saying,
I'm here,
I'm waiting for you. And so who are you driving with right now? And where are they taking you? And should you still pay?
No, should you still pay? Is that your biggest concern?
No, I'm joking.
This man only just let a person in the back of his car and drove off. No, but that's why I see sometimes, even with Uber especially, you can see the number plate and you can see a picture of their face. And you're not allowed to be an Uber for someone else. Meaning, if it says your Uber driver's name is this, and this is how he looks, and that's not what he looks like in real life, and that's not what the number plate is, or any of the, like, it's just red flag.
Don't even quit.
If the driver on your picture looks different from the driver in the car, they're not allowed to operate like that.
Maybe he cut his hair, man.
Doesn't matter. Don't take the risk.
Maybe he lost weight. Yeah, maybe he shaved.
Nah, tell him to update his profile picture in your talk.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I'm saying.
But anyway, this new reservation system gives riders the ability to pay for a trip at a fixed price up to 30 days in advance. It's not available here where we are right now. The feature is only available in South Africa in Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, and Cape Town. So you can't do it here yet.
Oh,
not yet. Damn.
So close yet so far.
Exactly. And now it's the end of the show. How did this happen?
No, but Ian, it's been an absolutely great another week of tech. It's been another great Tech Plus episode. I really enjoyed it.
Same here.
We had some exciting news this week. Looking forward to next week. Obviously, special thank you to all of our listeners for listening in for another Tech Plus. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, and Kane, you enjoy your long weekend. Well deserved.
Thank you very much.
And
you
happy
too.
Easter.
Happy Easter to you and everyone listening.
Thank you, Kane.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.